Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Sunday evening recorded sermon during the COVID-19 period. Thank you for joining me again this evening. I want to begin tonight with an apology to some of our young couples at church. For the last several months, we've been having a Zoom study together and using a book by Bob and Sandra Waldron, which is called Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. Brother Waldron, along with his wife Sandra, have written a number of excellent books on both the Old Testament history and the New Testament life of Jesus and the church. And if you've seen any of them, you know how excellent they are, and we've been studying from one of these books. Anyway, the lesson tonight comes from a recent lesson we have had together in that class, and so I apologize for a little bit of repetition. But I thought the material was very good and wanted to share it with everyone, both tonight and next Sunday evening. From the beginning of time, God had a plan for the redemption of mankind through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is called a number of things in the New Testament. Of course, He is called Jesus, called Savior or Jesus. The name Jesus means Savior. Shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins, the angel said to Joseph. He's called the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. He's called our Redeemer. He's called the Christ, which means the Anointed One, the same word of the Old Testament word Messiah. He is called the Son of David. He is called our Lord or Master. He is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. All these and many more words, titles, are applied to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is also referred to as a mediator. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul wrote to Timothy, "There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time." What does the term mediator mean? Strong says that this Greek word means one who intervenes between two, either in order to make or restore peace and fellowship. And so one who intervenes between two. Vine, in his expository dictionary of New Testament words, says the word literally comes from two words, one, mesos, which means middle, and ami, which means to go, in the middle to go. He says it is used of two ways in the New Testament. The one applies to us, one who mediates between two parties with a view to producing peace, as in 2 Timothy 2, verse 5. And so, one who goes between, one who is in the middle of two individuals, one who mediates between parties with the view of procuring, producing peace. And so, as we said, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." This is just one of about six or seven places that the word mediator is used in the New Testament. It is used of Moses in one place, who was the mediator in the Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, and in Hebrews chapter 9, and in Hebrews chapter 12, it's used in those three times of Jesus, of Him being the mediator of a new covenant. 8:6 says, "But now He has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as He also is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted upon better promises." Hebrews 9:15, "For this reason He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." And in chapter 12, verse 24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaketh better than the blood of Abel." And so in our next two lessons, we want to talk about Jesus' role as mediator of the New Covenant. First, let me read, as we get into this lesson, a quote from Brother Waldron on page 59 of the book that I mentioned. He says, "Job of old complained of God, for he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, that we should come together in judgment. There is no umpire betwixt us, that he may lay his hand upon us both." Job 9, verses 32 and 33. Brother Waldron goes on to say, we do have an umpire or mediator. For there is one mediator also between God and man himself, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5 he quotes from. "Yes," he says, "heaven came down and glory filled my soul," quoting the great song. Jesus, Brother Waldron goes on, then quotes from Philippians 2. "Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross." Philippians 2, 5-8. He ends this paragraph by saying the primary point that we will make in these two lessons is that through Christ, God approaches us, and through Christ, we draw nigh unto God. Notice carefully that last sentence from Brother Waldron. Through Christ, God approaches us, and through Christ, we draw nigh to God. Sometimes as we study things, a person will explain something in a way that just opens our eyes, that hits us in a way we haven't been hit before. And that's what happened to me when I read this sentence from Brother Waldron. He explained it in a way that to me made it very clear how that Jesus is our mediator. Through Christ, God approaches us. Through Christ, we draw nigh to God. It goes both ways. And so tonight, let's talk about how that Christ, through Christ, God approached us. And Brother Waldron makes 3 points, and we'll talk about those now. Jesus is the revelation of God, he's the manifestation of God, and he is Savior. First of all, Jesus is the revelation of God. The word reveal means to uncover, to lay open what has been veiled or covered up, according to Strong, to make known, to make manifest, to disclose what before was unknown. And so to reveal something is to uncover it, to make it known, to show what had been hidden before. Jesus revealed the Father to us. He revealed the will of the Father. God had many prophets under the Old Covenant. And there was a limited way in which, of course, the prophets spoke of God and revealed God to the people. Hebrews 1:1 says that God spoke to the fathers by the prophets in diverse portions and in diverse manners. And so there were many prophets under the Old Covenant. But there was one special prophet that the Old Testament looked forward to. There was one special prophet that God would send, unlike any other prophet. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 15, 18, and 19, Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up from among you a prophet like unto me. From among you, from your countrymen, you shall listen unto him." This is God speaking to Moses. Again, in verses 18 and 19, God says, "I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like unto you, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall come about that whosoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." And so God says to Moses that I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto you. I'm going to put my words in his mouth. And whoever does not listen to that prophet, I will require it of him. We know that the Lord was talking about his son Jesus because in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, Peter, speaking to those individuals in Jerusalem, quotes from Moses. In fact, we could take a step back and notice that the Jews generally understood that this statement to Moses was messianic, that God was talking about the Messiah. And Peter confirms that and quotes it, referring to Jesus. And so Peter says it refers to Jesus. The inspired apostle Peter said in his sermon that Moses was speaking of the Lord. The point is, God would send a new prophet, a great prophet, a prophet like unto Moses, and he would put his words in the mouth of that prophet. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so we see that the writer of Hebrews says that God has spoken. God has spoken to us in his Son. Jesus reveals the words of the Father. Remember our first point here. Jesus is mediator because Jesus reveals. He's the revelation of God. He speaks the words of God. God has spoken, the writer of Hebrews says. In times past, through the fathers, by the prophets, in a diverse portions, many ways, but now he speaks through his Son. Jesus is the spokesman for the Father. Jesus said that himself personally during his lifetime in John chapter 17. Just look at two specific verses. John 17 verses 8 and verse 14. In verse 8, Jesus said, "For the words which you gave me," speaking to the Father, "for the words which you gave me I have given to them," talking about his apostles, his disciples, "and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me." In chapter 17, same chapter, verse 14, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Jesus says, "The words which you gave me," verse 8, "I've given them." Verse 14, "I have given them your word." Jesus gave the words of God to his disciples, and they later would write it in a book. We call it the New Testament, the Bible. And it is God's words through his Son, through the Holy Spirit, to the apostles. And that is the word that we are to follow, that we are to live by. God has reached out to us. God revealed himself through the Son. God revealed himself in a perfect way through the Son, as he has never revealed himself before. Number two, Jesus is the manifestation of God. Jesus is the revelation of God. Jesus is the manifestation of God. The word manifest or manifestation in English says readily perceived by the eye or the understanding. To manifest something is to reveal it in such a way that it can be seen and perceived by the eye and the understanding. To make clear or evident to the eye or understanding. In the Greek, according to Strong, the word that is translated manifest here, to make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. To make something manifest is to allow it to be seen. Now, Jesus did that is reveal the words, but I think this point goes even a step farther. As we see that, as we will see, where Jesus says to his disciples, "When you have seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus was the manifestation of the Father. In John chapter 1, we see this beautiful prologue at the beginning of John's book. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. In verse 14 of that chapter, John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Word, God come in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus, the eternal Word, was with the Father, and he was in full essence deity. And yet he took on human flesh. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. The eternal Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then in verse 18 of that same chapter, John says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. It's been pointed out that God revealed his own character in the Old Testament, in the law, and in the teachings of the prophets. The character of God can be seen in the Old Testament. What we mean by that is we can know from the Old Testament that God is love, and that God is just, and that God is fair, and that God will punish, and that God hates sin. We learn something of the character of God. We can see that God is eternal, and that God is all-powerful, and that God knows everything. We see something of his nature and his character. Although no man can fully understand God, how can mere flesh understand God? And yet what we can understand is revealed to us and was revealed to us, his character was revealed to us in the Old Testament. And yet we can see that God, even more so, revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. That fact is made known in the book of John, John 14, that we'll get to in just a moment. Before I go to John 14, let me just reference one of the passages. In Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses, we've quoted part of this already. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I was reading there from the New American Standard Bible, and it says he is the radiance of his glory. The King James said the brightness of his glory. The New American Standard, the ESV, and the NIV say radiance. The American Standard says effulgence. The English word effulgence just means shining forth brilliantly, radiant. It's from the Latin word that means to shine. The Greek word for this word in the text means a light coming from a luminous body, to shine forth. From apo, from, and age, brightness. Brightness from, to shine forth. And our brother in the lesson book that I was talking about, Brother Waldron, made the point that Jesus is not just a reflection of God's glory. The moon reflects the glory of the sun, but has no brilliance in and of itself. It's just a reflector. Jesus is not a reflector. He's not a reflection of God's glory. He is the effulgence of his glory. He's the shining forth, the radiance, the very essence of God's divine glory. And so Jesus came to show us God. Now to the passage in John chapter 14. You'll remember John 14. Jesus begins there by saying, this is the night before his crucifixion, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And ye know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus says in answer to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you know the Father also. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus says to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? Don't you understand? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is the very effulgence, the very brightness, the very radiance of the Father. Jesus revealed the Father to us. When we see his love, we see the love of the Father. When we see his faithfulness, we see the faithfulness of the Father. When we see his forgiveness, we see the forgiveness of the Father. In every way, Jesus perfectly demonstrated, perfectly radiated the character of God. And so, Jesus is the perfect mediator. From God's standpoint, we see that Jesus is the revelation, and he is the radiance. He is the manifestation of Jehovah God. And thirdly, before we finish, let's talk about Jesus, our Savior. Through Jesus, God has given us salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Galatians chapter 3, we see Paul goes into some detail explaining about God's plan and how that God had made the promises to Abraham and the wonderful promise of salvation that God has made possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. And beginning in verse 6 of that chapter, Paul writes, even so, Abram believed in God, and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. Therefore be sure that those who are of faith are of the sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. For as many as are for the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide in all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There's just a couple things I want to emphasize about those verses. One is what Paul says in verse 10. As far as many as are the works of the law are under a curse, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. The only way that anyone could have been saved under the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, or any law of works, any law that is strictly instructions, is to obey that law perfectly. But no one could do that. The law itself says, Paul is quoting here from the Old Testament. Cursed is everyone who does not abide in all the things written in the book of the law to do them. If you don't keep it perfectly, you're under a curse. And that's everyone. So therefore, we needed a Savior. And that's the theme of this section, is that Jesus is Savior. So verse 13, Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus died for us. Jesus was the solution to the problem of sin. In Romans, the early chapters, Paul talks about the problem of sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. In verse 24, Paul goes on to say, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. God reached down to us through Jesus to save us. Jesus is mediator. Jesus opened the door to heaven for us. Jesus made it possible. The problem was sin, our disobedience, our rebellion. But God made a solution possible by the gift of his Son, by grace, through redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, an appeasement of his own wrath, through the shed blood of his Son. And so, Jesus is our mediator. He is our go-between, between God and us. He took away the problem of sin. He became the curse for us. God sent him forth to accomplish the assignment he had given to us. Now remember what we said in the beginning. Jesus is our mediator that stands between us and God. Through Christ, God approaches us. And through Christ, we draw nigh to God. He stands in between. Tonight we talked about the fact that Jesus is the revelation of God. He's the manifestation of God, and he is Savior. Next Sunday, we'll talk about how that we can draw near to God through Jesus. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.